Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Very quickly, let me show you why we praise Him. Please sit down. I'll show you why we praise. I'll show you the effect of praise. And then I will show you how to praise. And you can substitute that with thanks. How, why we give thanks, the effect of thanksgiving, and how to give thanks. When I'm able to itemize that for you, my teaching tonight will be very pastoral, to be classical. I'll just pick the point, confirm it with two or three scriptures, and then I allow us to go ahead and do it. Glory to Jesus. Why do we give thanks? Number one, because He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our thanksgiving. Psalm 106 verse 1. It said, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercies endureth forever." Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercies endureth forever. The 420 elders were praising God. Revelation 4:11. The Bible said they fell on their faces, they cast their crowns, and they gave Him glory, and they declared that He was worthy of all praise. And they also declared that for His pleasure all things were created. So we give God thanks primarily because He is worthy of our praise. Everything we are is because of Him. And so we can't exist without giving thanks to Him. Number two, why do we give Him thanks? Because of His provision. James 1:15, it said, "Every good and perfect gift comes from above." It said, "It comes from the Father of light, in whom is no variableness or shadow of turning." He provides every good and every perfect gift. And so we have no choice but to give Him thanks. If you are not thanking God, then you are making a declaration that all you have came by your own strength. But remember, Deuteronomy 8:17, the Bible said, "Don't say it's by the strength of your hand that you have gotten what you have gotten." It says, "You shall remember the Lord your God. It is Him that giveth thee power to get wealth and to establish His kingdom." Number three, why do we give Him thanks? Because of the victories we enjoy in trials and in spiritual battles. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14. The Bible said, "Thanks be to God, who always causeth us to triumph and maketh manifest the savour of His knowledge in every place." Every time you triumph, God made it happen. You don't triumph because you are strong. You triumph because you are helped. And so anytime you come out of a battle, it's important you lift your hands and give Him the glory. Number four, why do we give thanks? Because of the opportunity to fellowship with God and to fellowship with other believers. The opportunity of fellowship, both with God and with other believers. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2, Paul said, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in prayer." Every time we come together, we thank God for the opportunity. Why is that so? Because all of us, once upon a time, were candidates of hell. We were candidates of judgment. The reason we are gathered here is because we were snatched from Hades. We were snatched from destruction. We were snatched from the condemnation that is to come. So whether you are responsible for winning somebody or not, that person was delivered from hell, and you have the privilege to come together to this holy family and convergence, you give God thanks for it. So we give God thanks for honoring us with his presence, and we give God thanks for the privilege of fellowshipping with one another. Look at the opportunity we have to have ourselves as one family. It's such a blessing, and you have to give thanks for it. Never take it for granted. Philippians 1, you read from verse 3 to 5, Paul kept giving thanks because of the church. He kept giving thanks because of the brethren. In fact, even in the place of prayer, he made mention of them while giving thanks to God. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. When Paul thinks about the church, when Paul thinks about the believers, it gives him reasons to give God thanks. So thank God for your brother. Thank God for your sister. Thank God for every believer that you have the opportunity to share fellowship with. Because tomorrow, we are going to stand together in heaven as one big family, and we return to the new earth in perpetual celebration. So we thank God for God, and we thank God for ourselves. And then finally, why do we give God thanks? We thank God for the works, particularly the works of salvation. For God to have humbled himself to come for us is too much reason to honor him. I've read to you before from the Message translation, the Bible teaching us in Philippians chapter 2. If we have that, we can project it from verse 5. You look at the 7 humiliations that Jesus had to go through in order to bring you and I salvation. The Bible said, think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. And he said he had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages that of that status no matter what. So there was equality with God in status, and then there was numerous advantages by reason of that status. He said, not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took upon himself the status of a slave and became human. Are you following? Status with God, advantages based on that status, privileges based on being deity, assuming the status of a slave, assuming the status of a man. And he didn't stop there. Having become human, the Bible said he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim any special privilege. So even as a man, the privileges that God allotted men, Jesus didn't cling to it. So he did not just leave the privileges of deity, he also didn't take the privileges of a man. And he didn't stop there. He said he was selfless and obedient. He lived a selfless and obedient life, and he was selfless unto death. And the Bible added the worst kind of death, the death of a criminal. This is the summary of the works of salvation. And he did all of this because of you. If you are not thankful, it's either because you are not saved or you don't know the implications of salvation. It took a lot for Jesus to bring salvation to you and I. So when you remember that while you were yet sinner, Christ died for you, what should come out of you naturally is thanksgiving. Paul was teaching in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you read from verse 14 to verse 15. And he said, he made it very clear to us. He says to live for him who died for us. We can't live for ourselves anymore, because the life we are living is the life of Christ. If he didn't come, you and I would have been condemned eternally. And so every time you think about the fact that God came for you, you need to give him thanks. Now, it took a lot in divine economy for you to be saved. I've taught you before, the 4 forces or pillars of salvation: the mercy of God, the grace of God, the love of God, and the power of God. These were all invested because of you. These were the investments of God in order for you to receive salvation. His mercy was invested, His grace was invested. His power was invested. And His love was invested. And you need to understand the implication of these four. The love of God was what compelled God to reach out to you. Romans 5 verse 8, the Bible says, God commends His love towards us. It says, for while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So in the context of salvation, the love pillar is the force that moves God in your direction, even though you were a sinner. That's why it said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then the mercy of God was the force responsible for your deliverance. The love of God pushed God to come for you. The mercy of God was what was responsible for you to be exonerated from judgment. Remember, the Bible said in James 2:13 that mercy prevails over judgment. Lamentation 3:22, it said, it's for the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Hope you know that even within the context of divine justice, the wrath of God insists that you must die because the wages of sin is death. The dimension in God that insists you will not die is His mercy. If mercy was not invested in salvation, judgment would have been a must. So mercy was what spoke for you that although you are a sinner, you will not be judged. But when mercy says you will not be judged, God cannot deny Himself or change His laws because of you. Then grace comes into the equation. The grace of God is what makes available the provision for your substitution. So when mercy says you cannot die, and the wrath of God says you must die, God had to present something of equivalent status or more. So the supply God made available in order for you to be removed from death is what grace played a part to do. It is within the context of grace that all the provision of salvation was made available. So if you read Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, the Bible makes it clear that it is because of grace that you and I are saved. Without grace, you cannot be saved. Grace is what produced Jesus. Grace is what produced eternal life. Grace is what produced all of the resources of salvation. So everything has its role. Love motivated God to come. Mercy motivated God to exonerate you. Grace produced the resources that substituted you while you were exonerated. That's why Jesus, the Bible said, grace and truth came by Him. That grace was what made every payment of salvation is called grace. It's within the context of grace that the resources for salvation are made available. And then, the power of God. The power of God was what made it possible for God to defeat Satan. The Bible said that in Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He said He has translated us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of His dear Son. It took power for that to happen. If there was no power, Satan would have kept Jesus in the grave. He would not have resurrected. And if Jesus does not resurrect, the equation of salvation will not be complete. But the Bible told us in Colossians 2:14, having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a public show of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So in the context of salvation, Jesus needed to produce four divine resources for salvation to be possible. Love motivates God. Mercy exonerates you from judgment. Grace produces everything required for you to be saved. And power completed the statute. First, by subduing Satan, not to corrupt the process. And secondly, by defeating death and the grave. He rose up gloriously. In Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, the Bible told us that He was declared to be the Son of God by power and by the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So it took power for Him to have risen. And that resurrection means defeat to death, defeat to Satan. That was why you were saved. That's how salvation became possible. And so when we talk salvation, we are talking a spiritual economy that includes God's mercy, God's grace, God's power, and God's love. These are the four resources that produce salvation. And so every time we say Christ revealed, you don't see the picture of Jesus. When we say Christ revealed, you see Christ through the love of God. That although you were worth nothing, God paid the highest price for you. Although you were rejected, God came for you. That love is the face of Jesus. When we talk about the face of Jesus in the gospel, we are talking the provisions that was made available for you. When we talk about the face of Jesus, the revelation of Jesus, we are talking about the mercy of God that insists that you should not be destroyed. When we talk about Jesus in the context of salvation, we are talking the power of God that defeated Satan and defeated the grave. Now, why is this important? The reason why you will never be hopeless in any situation is that the greatest hopelessness you faced was when you were driven from God's presence for death. But love never allowed God to let you go. So anywhere you find yourself, no matter the calamity, somewhere in you, you know God will come for me. Why will God come for you? His love won't let him leave you. He loves you too much to allow you to be destroyed. Even if he remains one breath on that hospital bed, God can still show up. Because it is part of the economy of salvation. And then whatever you have done, you know God will reject you. There is still repentance provision available for you. If I turn to the Lord, he will receive me. And then, no matter how helpless you seem to be in a situation, you know that I'm not really helpless. There is something I've not understood. Because within the context of grace, there is a provision of strength within me. The Bible said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. In Philippians 2:13, Paul said, it is God that worketh in us, both to will and to do. So even in your helpless situation, you will tell yourself, or do a righteous man fall seven times. Seven times he will rise again. This is not my end. It's either God comes for me because of love, or by reason of the investment of grace, I rise above it. One way or the other will come out. When it looks as if I'm helpless, God will come. When it looks as if I'm helpless, something in me will rise up that will take me out. So if God doesn't operate from heaven, he operates from within me. When he's operating from heaven, that's love. He's reaching out. When he's operating from within me, that is grace. He's standing up inside of me. That's why the Bible says Christ in you is the hope of glory. So don't laugh quickly at me. You may be disappointed. Be careful. Don't laugh. You see me walking naked, don't laugh yet. You see my back down, don't just laugh yet. You can just be surprised that you turn before you turn back. The person who was on the ground stood up. And you say, how is it possible? Christ in me is the hope of glory. Is the investment of grace. There's something in me that makes it impossible for me to shut down. You look at the ministry, you say it's over. Never say over when you deal with a child of God. You look at the marriage, you say it's over. Never say over. It is never really over with the child of God. Did you hear what Jesus said at Lazarus' tomb? He said that and there's something called the power of God. The power that defeated Satan. The power that defeated the grave. In his name, that power can be activated. By the revelation of scripture, that power can be activated. This is why the Christian is the wonder of this generation. You know, most of you see cripples walk, blind eyes open, deaf ears open. You say miracle, miracle. You don't know the biggest miracle. The biggest miracle is the resurrection of Jesus. And the effect of that miracle is the birth of the new salvation. Is it because of me that you spent love, you spent your mercy, you spent your grace, you spent your power? Me? Me? And he didn't do it because we are many. He said even the hair of your head is numbered. The day this thing becomes real to you, your life will take a new turn. Listen, when you read your Bible and you see people praise God in prison, they know that the circumstance is secondary. The real thing is this truth. If God spent all his love to save me, the prison doors can't hold me, sir. If God released grace to save me, even the grave can't hold me captive. No circumstance can keep me in bondage. I speak over someone tonight. As you praise God with understanding, something will shift in your life. Please sit down. Why do we praise him? We praise him because of salvation. God loves me. He loves you. He doesn't love me more than you. If you find two Christians at different levels, one discovered more of God's love than the other. The same thing that was spent for me was spent for you. It was spent for you. The more you discover, the more glorious your life becomes. And one of the proofs that you have discovered is the quality of thanks you give. I've discovered. I know the implication of divine love. I know the implication of divine mercy. If you know the circumstances we find ourselves in, an ordinary man will collapse. Is it people rising up against you? Some vowing that you'll be destroyed? Is it contrary circumstances that come against you because you are making impact? Is it the responsibility you have to bear that is far greater than you? Is it the demons that hate you because you are doing what you are doing? I was talking to God's servant yesterday. He said he's on a world tour. What tour for Jesus? You think demons are happy? They want you to just wake up and die. But when your lungs is failing, grace will rise up. When blood pressure is going up, grace will rise up. And Satan is wondering, I've used all my arrows. I've used all my weapons. Why are you not falling? Because what is powering me is eternal. So when I'm dancing with understanding. I've become an impregnable fortress. You may not have money in your pocket. The money is a byproduct. Some of you are seated here with doctor's verdict. They've counted your days. You have 4 months to live. They don't know about grace. They know about liver. They know about lungs. They know about brain. But they don't know grace. There are certain things that their equipment in the hospital can't diagnose. Grace is one of it. Mercy is one of it. Even when your faith fails, mercy can speak. Don't you know that mercy is stronger than faith? Simon, Simon, Satan desires to have you, to sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith faileth not. So even when a man's faith will not suffice, mercy says no. God will show up for you. Not because you know what to do to invoke him. His love will push him. His mercy will exonerate you. I prophesy over someone. You'll walk out of here stepping into a new beginning. Please sit down for a moment. I'm avoiding the temptation of preaching. But these things are true. Now, when you praise God, what are the effects of praising God? Number one, it provokes increase. Anything you want multiplied, give thanks for it. This is a powerful mystery in the kingdom. And anything you want diminished, lament over it. You will see plenty vanish overnight. And you can see nothing grow into magnitude overnight. The difference is whether you are thanking or you are lamenting. When you murmur, the Bible calls it an evil heart. So those who praise or give thanks, one of the natural byproducts is increase. Read your Bible. Quoted too many times. Acts 2:47. They were hunting the early church with weapons to kill them like animals. But the Bible made a statement. It said they were praising God daily. And the moment they praised him, the Bible said they started having favor with all the people. Suddenly, people who hate you start looking for how to make friends with you. They don't know what's manipulating them. And he said the Lord added to the church daily. See, there is a place of daily increase. Many years ago, I was listening to a man of God, and the man said, there is no day that I don't receive 5 alerts, at least. I said, who is giving you? In this country, I beg, relax. 5 what? After a while, I discover it's not the man's prerogative. I suddenly discover, sometimes I wake up with a laugh and I sleep living a laugh. I now discovered God is not a respecter of persons. There is nothing you have that cannot increase. But what you do with it is what matters. Now, there's a place for investment, but there's also a place for supernatural increase. That ministry can increase. That business can increase. That family can increase. I've seen barren people give birth just by praising God. I've seen people jobless for years, made up their mind, locked the door, today, not today. Damned, praise God like mad people, and suddenly, doors open. It's a mystery. When you praise, you provoke increase. Why do you think they are always praising in heaven? And you cannot have anything die or diminish there. It's a mystery. You check businesses, ministries that keep growing bigger and bigger and bigger. They dance like children before the Lord. There's no such thing as I have rank. You are dealing with Ancient of Days. You stand before God, your rank is useless. What you do in his presence is to lift your hand. Even the 24 elders, people who are called elders in heaven, the Bible said they fell on their crown from their thrones. They cut their crown and they praised God. That's why they remain there. The day you stop, you go down. Praise produces unending increase. That's why we praise. In John chapter 6, verse 11 to 12, Jesus needed to feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Hello? When he thought of it, they taught him. This is the wrong direction, sir. With all due respect, even a year's wages can't suffice here. Allow them to go. He said, if they go, they will die on the road. What do you have? Since you insist, 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what is this among so many? And the truth, you think about it. What is 5 loaves and 2 fish among 5,000 men? And you know anywhere you have 5,000 men, you have more women. And if you find women, you'll find children. So we are not dealing with 5,000 people. At least 12 to 18,000. He carried it, and the Bible said he gave thanks. Jesus knew this thing so much that he could bank his integrity on it. He gave thanks. Nothing happened. He said, take, give them. He knew this thing can't fail. When they took and they were breaking it, the bread was multiplying. The miracle didn't happen in Jesus' hands. So what it means is that you can carry somebody's certificate and say, thank you, Father, for this certificate. Take, go and get a job. Somebody can bring you his ministry vision. You think all the times we are walking by anointing, if the anointing is on you all the time, you will die. We don't walk with the anointing all the time. What we walk with all the time is light, is mystery. Sometimes you come to a man of God, you say, nothing is working. You are expecting that 24 hours a day, he's connected to heaven. Angels are whispering. Oil is flowing on his head. You are joking. There are times when we are more dry than you. But there are things we know. When you show up and God doesn't speak, you're sure I don't sense the anointing, I can put hand on you. Thank you, Father, for this life. Thank you, Father, for this ministry. Rise up, go and prosper. You will say, a man of rank has spoken. A man of authority. It's not about rank. It's about understanding. I know when I thank God, you must multiply.
That's what Jesus did.
He gave them the bread. Take, give them.
He knew that that 5 loaves and 2 fish must feed the people. It must. And true to it, he fed them. When they gathered, 12 loaves were left over.
12 baskets.
Number two, what are the effects of praise? It engenders deliverance. Your neighbor is angry with you. You are telling everybody, this is my mother is a witch. This my neighbor is the one you know that you are pointing. You don't know how many witches are on your matter. The Bible said 1,000 shall fall by your side. It said 10,000 shall fall by your right hand. That means every day you have 11,000 enemies. You are pointing. They say, my mother-in-law is a witch. Wake up, stop that babyhood Christianity. Rise up beyond the realm of witches. There's a realm you get to. No matter how numerous your enemies are, their arrows will be wasted. He said, you shall not be afraid of the arrows that fly by day, nor of the noisome pestilence, nor the destruction that wasted in noonday. 1,000 falls by your side, 10,000 by your right hand. He said, it shall not come near you. There's a height where they don't come near. There's a height where they can shoot the arrows. They can gang up. It can't reach where you are. You try to stone an aircraft. There's a place where that stone can't get to. The aircraft just goes up. I heard the story of a crow and an eagle. The crow is the only bold bird that challenges the eagle. You know what it does? It climbs the back of the eagle and it keeps hitting the eagle. But the eagle doesn't fight. There are certain fights that if you fight, you condescend. See, those of you who are going far, be careful. Choose your battles. Some people want to fight you to gain relevance. They know that nobody cares about them until they pick on you. So when they are shouting, ignore them. Don't legitimize their claims or give them relevance by fighting with them. Do you fight with a pig and not get dirty? Even if you kill the pig, you come out to discover you are full of mud. Select your battles wisely. You know what the eagle does? When the crow is hitting, it's going up. It's going up. There is a height the eagle gets to. The crow can no longer breed. You need superior technology to survive there. It falls from the eagle and dies. Because even that height, it can't fly. It suffocates there. That's what the Bible meant when it said 1,000 fall by your side. Don't bother about the number of your enemies. Who are they? Where are they talking from? I'm talking from the corridors of the secrets of God. The Bible said the secrets of the Lord is with some people. I'm one of those who carry it. And one of that secret is praise. When I praise God, I go higher. When I wait upon the Lord, I go higher. I mount up with wings like the eagles. Come on now. Satire. You soar to higher ground. Did you not read your Bible? Surely they shall gather. It says, not by me. And he didn't say, I will do anything about it. He said, they will fall for your sake. Why will they fall? Because you went to a height they can't climb to. Even aircrafts. There are different categories of aircrafts. There are aircrafts that can fly for 10 hours. They don't need refueling. So, even among those who fly, there are heights. An Airbus can fly for 10 hours and not refuel. Not a Bombardier. So when you journey high, there are colors of your destiny that begins to manifest. And one of the ways to fly is through praise. It engenders natural deliverance. The Bible said in Acts 16:25, it said they beat Paul, they beat him and Silas, threw them to prison. It said at midnight. You see, these men were wise men. I wish I had time to show you the mystery of midnight. Gates are removed at midnight. Go and read Judges 16 verse 3. Samson did nothing until at midnight. The Bible said he carried the gate of Gaza. See, even gates respond to men at midnight. He carried the gate on his shoulder to the mountaintop. Paul waited till midnight and he invoked a mystery. He said they prayed and they gave thanks and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly, the foundation of the prison scattered. See, you are the one exalting the foundation of your father's house. I know there are foundations, but there are higher laws. There are higher mysteries. I'm not denying patterns of the bloodline, but I tell you, there are forces superior. When an aircraft flies, do you think all the other laws are suspended? No. One law supersedes the other. Every time an aircraft takes off, there is what they call the law of aerodynamics. The law of lift. That law, but it intimidates gravity. Gravity is still there, but something superior is at work. So your father's bloodline can be there. You rise up, leave the foundation where it is. That's why it's called foundation. You become a roof. Hey! See, Christmas, every day, my father's house, there is a strong man who is stronger than Jehovah El Shaddai. Strong man. Nobody rises in my family. It depends on what they are flying with. It depends. How do you say nobody rise? Let them wait on the Lord. Let's see. Let them pray. Let's see. Anybody can rise anywhere. It depends on what you are using. They that wait upon the Lord, they renew their strength. They mount up with wings like the eagles. What do you mean? All of us came from somewhere. We don't deny the existence of strong men, but there is one stronger. We don't deny the existence of foundation, but there are forces that defy. I prophesy over someone. You rise up this city. Please sit down. Second Chronicles 20:20-22. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe also his prophet, so shall ye prosper. But what did the prophet do? When the spirit of prophecy came, he told them, go to battle praising. I know bows and arrows work, but there are higher laws. This time, go with praise. And the Bible said they left and sang, the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. In verse 22, it said, and the Lord set an ambushment. So it's not only gates that are lifted. The camp of the enemy can scatter. You don't know the mystery of praise. Stop glorifying your problem. All of us have one. Take advantage of the things that God has instituted for your blessing. And praise is one of them. Number one, it provokes increase. Number two, it engenders deliverance. That little money in your account can multiply. That your small encounter can produce deliverance to a generation. That your ministry in the village can reach the ends of the earth. It can multiply. You have a prayer group. You are 12. And you have been 12 for 2 years. Don't worry. You have been 12 for 2 years. You have 40 more years ahead. I've been singing. Nobody invites me. Relax. A day will come, you have so many invitations, you won't be able to honor them. Oh, my spiritual life, I don't know. I keep struggling. Don't worry. Even grace multiplies. Praising. One of the things you need to fortify yourself with are dangerous songs in the spirit. If you catch me any day, anytime, I have different playlists. There are songs that when they are playing on my playlist, the only way to interact with them is to close your eyes. Where they are coming from, the holiest of all, the only light there is the Shekinah. So you can't sing it with distraction. You close your eyes, you lift your hand, or you lie on the floor. And as you are singing it, that's why an incense will come down and fetch you to heaven. You don't know what I'm saying. Even the instruments, you know, angels inspire them. We are standing on holy ground. As you are singing it, it looks like doors are opening from eternity. As you are connecting, after a while, a ladder will come down. Let us pray. Jesus, now we are standing in His presence on holy ground. Holy, 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 holy are you, Lord. Oh my, holy, 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 holy are you, Lord.
Vehicles that mobilize spirit. That's why every time you preach and the light of God opens, the grace, the power, the possibilities of God are transferred. And then when you touch the right chord, spirit move. Did you not read your Bible? On the day of Pentecost, how did he come? A sound of a rushing mighty wind. Different sounds carry different spirits. He said the Son of Man shall descend with a shout. And with the voice of the archangel. Sounds. Be not drunk with wine. Wherein is excess. Be filled with the spirit. Speaking to yourself. When you make sound, you mobilize spirit. So you. That's why I tell people, avoid secular songs. You are transporting demons into your home. You think sounds are not originated? No sound came from the human brain. Every sound came from portals in spirit realm. And you engender deliverance. He said there was ambushment. Three nations that had a formidable plan to destroy Judah. Two turned against one. When they finished destroying that nation, they turned against themselves. Destroyed themselves. The last two fought. One killed the other. And the last man standing. Okay, go home now. You are not permitted. He struck himself. Your enemies will soon disappear. He said, the Egyptians you saw yesterday, you shall see no more. Number three. Why do we give thanks? It creates spiritual atmosphere
The Bible said in John 11, 40 to 43, everybody was weeping and crying in Lazarus' tomb. Jesus showed up and left them. The Bible said they lifted his voice and gave thanks. The moment he gave thanks, he knew the atmosphere shifted. And he shouted, Lazarus, come forth! He didn't want them to contaminate his atmosphere. Because certain things can't happen until the atmosphere is correct. That's why when he went to raise the little girl, all the fake people wailing, he said, go outside. Take your hypocrisy away. Because those days they pay people to come and cry. In my village today, they pay them. So when somebody dies, they are wailers, professional wailers. They give them money. Early in the morning, they come to the compound and sit down. You will just hear, there's no compassion there. It's job. That's profession. They will be crying as if they are pained. When it's time for food, they will. Nobody. Jesus said, go outside with this, your fake atmosphere. I need another atmosphere. So they were all over the place in Lazarus' tomb, wailing. Were you not surprised? When Lazarus woke up, instead of thanking God, they were asking senseless questions. You need to create atmosphere for the miraculous. Certain things can't happen until miracles are, until atmospheres are correct. Like raising the dead. Most times when Jesus rose the dead, he changed the whole context of the environment. Creation can't take place until atmosphere is right. The Spirit of God brooded upon the face of the water before God said. You want to see miracles? You need atmosphere. And one of the quick mobilizer of atmosphere is praise. It said, God inhabits the praises of his people. The moment you start praising, you create a habitation for God. Now, I'm teaching you this so that you have it in your consciousness. Don't be carried away with the dance. Know what you are cooking. And as you are praising God and you are traveling to different degrees of atmosphere, take corresponding action. There are times when the atmosphere becomes suitable for war. Shift aside and begin to fight. Shift aside. Because the guy is singing, the songs are curated. He didn't write them in a book. They are coming as he's traveling. God's servant didn't know he was going to minister. He had not even rested. But songs come. Voices come. The prophet will tell you, the voice of the Lord came to me. Because they came to bring possibilities. Atmosphere for the miraculous. Number four, your thanksgiving also establishes you. Because when God starts something with you, it will also take God to establish it. There are many runaway sons of God. They came trusting God. The moment it's done, they are away. Those are the ones who become casualties of war. Luke 17, you read from verse 14 to 19. 10 lepers came to Jesus. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. On their way, they were cleansed. One was white. He came back to give thanks. And Jesus asked him, where are the nine? They don't know the mystery of establishment. Every service we live here, Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the hearts touched. Thank you for the miracles. You hear people come and tell you, prayer was not up to 40 seconds. It's not because we are powerful. We are learning from you. Thank you, Jesus, for the people who were able to catch it. Thank you for your presence that came when the world was going. Thank you for the life. Thank you for the power. Thank you for the ultra. There are over 100 people waiting for this message to finish. Before midnight today, they will butcher it into parts and communicate it on platforms for more people to be blessed. I don't pay them. I don't know them. This is what others pay money for. Put my message on your platform. They don't. They are under pressure. The moment you cough, they put it up. And one message has many ripple effects. And you say, ah, the man has ranking. He's not rank. They are better preachers. But you learn secrets. Some of us pray before the action. After the action, it becomes too difficult to thank him. That's why we are not seeing establishment. Number 5, praise provokes encounters. Psalm 100 verse 4, how do you enter? You enter his courts with thanksgiving. You enter there with praise. You see people who carry open heavens, they are not just prayer warriors. They are committed to life of praise. Committed to life of thanksgiving. That's why he said, let everything that has breath. So we are not the only ones who thank God. Ghost, thank God. Three, thank God. We bless you, Lord. You are holy. And forever you are God. We bless you, Lord.
You are holy.
You are holy.
And forever you are God.
We don't have time. How do you give thanks? Quickly. Number 1. A heart posture of gratitude. It begins with the heart. Before it gets to the lips. Before it gets to the body. The Bible said in Malachi 2 verse 2. It says, if you will not hear and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory to God. So you lay it to heart to give glory to God. There must be a grateful heart posture. Philippians 4:8. He said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and whatsoever things are virtue, and whatsoever things, if there be any praise, think on those things. Train your heart to be full of gratitude. Don't just talk it. Let it originate from here. Some people don't see why they should thank God. Every time they come to you, nothing is working, but the tongue is working. The leg walked, he brought them to you. Sometimes their talk shows ingratitude, and you say, wait, wait, they won't keep quiet. That's why you contemplate before you give thanks. Don't just sing a song and be lost in it. Contemplate. Take your time. Think on things. Number 2, how do you give thanks? Through utterances of your lips. Hebrews 13:15 says, carry with you words, the sacrifice of praise. It says, it's the fruit of your lips. Don't allow your mouth be full of lamentations. Some things may not yet be working. You don't praise God when it works. You praise God for it to work. And when it starts working, you praise him for letting it work. Psalm 105 verse 1 to 2 said, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds amongst the people. Make known. Number 3, how do you pray? A life committed to service. There's a time when you show gratitude by committing yourself to serve. God has done too much for me not to be involved in his assignment. And you serve with your energy, you serve with your time, you serve with your resources. 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15. Paul said the love of Christ constrained us. He said, for we thus judge, if one gave his life for us, he said, they that live, you live for him. You must live for him. It's called your reasonable offering. Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. I beseech you, dearly beloved, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable offering.
Serve God with your time. Serve God with your energy. Serve God with your resources. Don't let somebody treat you into doing it. I was talking to the leaders last night, and I was showing them the critical elements of service. Reverend Hiss took loyalty. I took focus and suffering. Commit to God. Number four, how do you give thanks? By presenting gifts. Second Corinthians 9:7. You'll come before him with gifts. Malachi 1:8. God is even careful about the type of gift you bring and how you bring it with cheerfulness. And you give your best. He said, when you go to offer sacrifice to your governor, will you take a blind goat? Is it me, your father? You bring the one that is bad. So we give always, and we give our best. It's a sign of thanksgiving. And then finally, with singing and with dancing. Psalm 105, verse 2 says, to praise him with singing, with psalms, and declaring his wondrous works. Take a harp. Take a tambourine. Sing and dance. You are not too big for God. That's how you give thanks. The Bible said, let the earth praise the Lord. Let the people praise the Lord. And he said, the earth shall yield her increase. When we pray, even the earth develops intelligence. Because you have prayed, everything that pertains to you, everywhere you find yourself, I command it to produce for you. In the name of Jesus. Your career, your job, your ministry, wherever you are planted, I command the earth to yield its increase now. They say, out of them shall proceed the voice of thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. It said that we multiply them, they shall not be few. I will glorify them. They shall not be small. On the strength of your praise tonight, I decree and declare, rise up to a higher level now. Rise up to a higher level now. Let there be increase and multiplication. In the name of Jesus Christ. When Paul and Silas praised him, the Bible said the foundation of the prison shattered. Angelic visitation happened. Salvation happened. In the name of Jesus the Lord. Every faulty foundation you are standing on, family patterns, family bloodline, covenants, associations that have limited you, I command them to break now. I command them to break now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus stood at Lazarus' tomb. He gave thanks. The dead came back to life. Anything dead in your life, I stand. I speak over you as a priest of God, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, on the strength of the revelation of praise. I decree and declare, every dead thing in your life, it returns to life now. Everything scheduled for death, I command death, go back in the name of Jesus. Go back in the name of Jesus. Go back in the name of Jesus. I decree, I proclaim, walk in life and victory. In Jesus' mighty name. They said, you are finished. They are in for a surprise. As you walk out of this auditorium, in the next 72 hours, let a new paradigm
a new shift, a new dimension, a new beginning. Let it happen to you. I said, let it happen to you. I said, let it happen to you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Even before this month is over, we have few hours to the end of the month. I provoke an encounter. I provoke a visitation. I provoke a turnaround. The Bible said when the Lord turned against the captivity of Zion, He said we were like them that dream dreams. Our mouth was filled with laughter. And the people declared, their God has done this for them. I proclaim over you, before this month is over, may your mouth be filled with laughter. May your mouth be filled with laughter. May your enemies notice that your God has visited you. In the name of Jesus Christ, as we step into the new month, I decree over you, a new cycle is activated. A cycle of encounters. A cycle of increased grace. A cycle of financial prosperity. A cycle of deliverance. A cycle of increase. A cycle of establishment. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak to the barren. In the name of Jesus, break forth with singing. The grace, the power for fruitfulness, let it rest upon you now. Anyone stagnated here, whether in career, in marital issues, I declare, before the next 2 months are over, may the Lord move you forward. Step to the next level. Enter your home. Marital stagnation is broken. By this time next year, you are not only married, you carry your child. I say you carry your child. To everyone, doors have been shut against. Doors of opportunities. Doors of honorable relationships. Doors of nations. I come as one helped of God. And I speak as a custodian of the oracles of God. Before the next 7 days, let gates open to you. Let doors open for you. Let every stagnation be ended. Let every limitation be shattered. Go forward. Nations are open. Your next level is granted. In the name of Jesus.
Tonight, somebody is about to step into a realm of honor that you have never known before. Somebody is about to step into a dimension of power where territories submit to you, where nations come to you, where men submit to you and say, lead us. There is an anointing for kingship. It is given by the Lord. Now, wherever you are standing, at least 7 of you will come under that influence. Kingly anointing. The kingship anointing. Power to summon territories. Power to establish order. Power to rule. Power to oversee. Power to lead. Wherever you are standing, I stand as one carrying that grace and as sent by God. Right now, let that oil, let it rest upon you. Kings, monarchs, Pakatoa, Sarakina, Tabak, Karatos, Capella, Otta, set me up. There is a wind in the spirit. Kings in the spirit. Kings, kings. Some of you will enter territories. You will summon the land. Some of you will establish order. Divine counsel. Warota, Pekaro, Tabina, Otta, bring them here, Pap. Carry that grace. Carry that oil. Carry that dimension. The rise of kings. The rise of water. The rise of judges. Custodians in the spirit. I speak that dimension. I speak that oil. Let it come upon you now. Pakora Tadash. Bring that to me, Osha. We heard you, we heard you. You are about to rise up. Oh my God. Then we bow to what you carry. Asura Tavanita.
Receive it violently. Wherever you are standing, one, two, three.
inside, outside, online. Carry that grace now.
Oh, even here, Papa, look at what that's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. Oh, him in here.
Hello, come here.
Papa, look at what that's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are.
Oh, him in here.
Come on.
Maro Kabanataya. Bella Gabana Saluta. Return to Ghana and take over. From Ghana to the nation. The power for miracles. The voice that brings order. The grace for the supernatural. Hey! Flora Tanatali. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are.
Oh,
him in the air.
Come on,
look at that's who you are. That's who you are.
That's who you are.
The Lord is telling me to change laws and verdict. Somebody in authority stood and spoke over your life, you will never be established. You will never rise. You will never amount to anything. I stand on the altar of Jesus and I speak by the authority of Scripture. I speak by the authority of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I speak by the authority of the name of Jesus. That verdict is canceled. I said that verdict is canceled. They gave you an age limit. You will not cross this age. They gave you territorial barriers. They gave you heights, levels of growth and impact. I came to declare by the power of the blood that verdict is canceled. They spoke concerning you. They said, rise as you want. You will come down. I came with a new verdict. The path of the just is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter. Continue to rise. Continue to make impact. Go forward and subdue in the name of Jesus.
After the flesh, there's about to be change of God. You need higher grace, you need higher unction, you need higher presence to be able to confront the sons of Belial, to be able to confront the hyenas in corridors of power. And the Lord says to tell you higher ways of glory, higher dimensions of His presence. Wherever you are standing, everyone desiring, everyone believing, everyone open, now let it rest upon you. Measures of glory, measures of the cloud, words of the presence. Wherever you are standing, inside, outside, online, let it come upon you like a garment, like a mantle in the spirit. Carry that on for now. Some of you, your presence will expel demons. Like Jesus, you will enter a place, demons will scream and go out. Some of you, your walls will be low. By your walls, you will establish order. I decree, I declare, by the priesthood of the endless life, let that experience be yours now.
Ah, 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 tempted to lay hands on some of you. But hear me, wherever you are standing, put your hand on your head. Father, let there be an injection of the apostolic spirit. The spirit to lead. The spirit to break ground. The spirit to establish order. The spirit to exercise governance. The apostolic spirit. The spirit for mission. To dare new frontiers. To dare new paradigms. The spirit to pioneer. To establish new possibilities. The apostolic spirit. Wherever you are standing, I bring it to you now. As a witness of the same order. In the name of Jesus. Carriers. 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 Of the apostolic DNA. Carriers. Of the apostolic mantle. Carriers. Of the apostolic spirit. Such as I have. I stand in witness. I stand in the community. Of the spirit of Joseph made perfect. I bring you the witness. Of the apostolic. The authority. The mantle. The grace. The anointing. The expression. The manifestation. In the name of Jesus. Wherever you are standing, now, 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 let it rest upon you. Help those. Others, help those who will start feeling a fiery sensation on their hands, on their head, on their legs. Help them for me now. Like a flame of fire on their head, on their eyes, on their hands, on their legs is an impartation. In the name of Jesus, let it come heavier. Touch! Gloria, baby, oh. Oh, baby, oh. Oh, baby, sorry. In the bank, in the academia, in ministry, wherever you are, manifest the apostolic spirit. Be quiet. I hear in my spirit. Some of you are about to be commissioned with the takeover mantle, the takeover mandate in the academia, in media, in government, in business, in ministry. Father, those ones that you have numbered tonight, you brought them for this purpose. Now I decree, let that unction come upon them. From the left to the right, from the front to the back, to the overflows, to those connected online. Touch! 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 In music, take over. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, for the glory He set on our way. When we do His goodwill, He abides with us still.
and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. For the soul's away to be happy in Jesus. Trust and obey.
Thank you, Father. You are here tonight. You have not committed yourself to Jesus to be your Lord. I want to give you that opportunity quickly before you go. All we have listed here tonight are for the children of God. You want to become an inheritor of that which God has released tonight in perpetuity. You have to surrender to Jesus. You want to make that decision? Can you lift your right hand? Wherever you are standing, quickly. Quickly, quickly. If you are sincere, I'm seeing hands there. Lift it up. Upright. Don't be ashamed. Now, run to the front here and make that commitment. Pastor Godwin, take. Put on that brother with crutches there. Let strength come upon him to walk. Come, come, come.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what the glory He sheds on our way. When we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey. For the soul knows
to be happy in Jesus, or to trust.
Collect one cross. Let him walk with one.
For the soul of the way to be happy
in Jesus.
When we walk,
place your right hand on your chest. Those of you in the overflow, you can stand in front of the screen.
When we do His good will, He abides with us still, and we know who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for the Son of the world to be happy in Jesus, just to trust and obey. Trust.
Thank you, Father. This is the best decision of your life. I'm happy for those who are making it quite young. It's simple. To surrender to Jesus, all you need to do is to believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died for your sins. And then you declare Him as your Lord, and it is done. If that's your position, pray with me now. Close your eyes. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is your Son. I believe He died for my sins. He was buried, and on the third day He rose again from the dead. Today I confess with my mouth that this same Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, for receiving me, and thank you for the gift of eternal life. Father, I decree and declare over these ones, from today, let a new story begin for them. Thank you for forgiving their sins, and thank you for establishing them. As they return, they will not fall by the wayside, but they will live to fulfill that which you wrote concerning them. In Jesus' mighty name. Congratulations. Take your left. Your left is my right. And walk to the back. The counselors will receive you and speak to you as we round up. Can we receive Reverend Hughes 1 minute? Just speak a word of blessing over the house. Stand up, lift your hand and receive. Just 1 minute. Just speak a word of blessing. And then we'll take the announcement. We'll be out of here in 5 minutes.
Praise the Lord Jesus. If you are excited, shout a big amen. The Lord says that I should tell someone right now that there are about 100 of you that have been marked out for supernatural increase. said, thou shalt praise the Lord thy God, so the earth shall yield her increase. Raise up your hands right now. In the name of Jesus, every area of your life must increase from now henceforth. In the name of Jesus, increase in your finances, increase in your mind, increase in your health. In the name of Jesus, whosoever rises against you, fall seven times in the name of Jesus. Whosoever has dug a pit for you, fall into it in the name of Jesus. You are blessed. Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish. Subdue the earth. And have dominion in the name of Jesus. Great things are spoken of you. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you believe that, shout a big amen.
Come on, give the Lord a big shout. Have you been blessed? Have you been blessed? Shout for joy.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.